Heavenly Father and our God, we're thankful once again for allowing us to come into this holy place. We thank you, Lord, for those who gave out of a willing heart, that others might be blessed thereby. We pray now that your perfect will be done in each of our lives, that we would not only participate in financial blessings, but Lord, help us to give those spiritual blessings to those in our midst. Thank you for Jesus, who gave himself for us, that we may have life eternal in him. It is in his precious name we pray, and the church said, amen.
As you prepare to take your seats, would you please remember Trustee James Gallimore, who is in Warm Springs Rehab. He needs our prayers, he needs our support, and so does his wife, Anna. The choir leads us.
Save me.
How many of you love to hear the name of Jesus? Come on, there's a name I love to hear. Do you know what that name is? Come on, say that name. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. Hymn number 92. A name. The sweetest. Come on, tell me. Oh, how? It tells me,
it tells me of a Savior who died to set me free. It tells me of a Savior.
Oh, how? Lord, we love you today. We love your name. We love your cause. We love you, our God, for what you have done in human history. How you sent your son
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you, our God, and we come this day to praise your name, to lift you up, for you're worthy to be praised. Bless now the spoken word. Be with us in the preaching of the gospel. Honor us with your presence and with your power. In the name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. And all the people who love God said, amen. Amen. And those who were not afraid shouted, hallelujah. I have a question to you today, and that is, what do you say about Jesus? What is your living testimony about the life, the love, and the legacy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ? When we look at our text, and I would like to have two texts today, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, and the gospel according to John chapter 9, verses 25 through 28. The man that was born blind, Jesus had healed him by spitting on the ground and making clay out of the spittle and anointing the blind man's eyes. And Sister Brown, he sent him to go wash in the pool. The Bible says he washed and he came forth seeing. Before all of that happened, the disciples, when they'd come and Jesus found this man that was blind from birth, disciples asked the question, Lord, who did sin that this man be born blind? And Jesus said that the man nor his parents had sinned, but that the work of God may be made manifest in him. And then he spit on the ground. After he had come forth seeing, there was a murmuring, there was a complaining, there was a questioning by the powers that be. They asked him, who did heal him? The Bible said he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear again? We also be his disciples. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. And in the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, we find these words. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor the question. Question is, what do you say? What do you have to say about Jesus? Y'all not working with me? We're going to be here 3 hours. What do you have to say about Jesus? Thank you. What do you have to say about Jesus? Every one of us, that Jesus has done something for us in our personal lives, in our collective lives, we ought to be able to tell somebody the good thing or the good things that the Lord has done for us. When we look at these two texts, we discover that Jesus is concerned about what we have to say about him. Matter of fact, he asked his disciples when they had come to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, what do men and women and boys and girls have to say about me? Who do they say that I am? And they answered him and said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. You remember John, don't you? The preacher in the wilderness, the preacher, a cousin of Jesus that was called to be a forerunner for Jesus the Christ, to proclaim that he was to come. You remember what he said about Jesus? There comes a man whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie. And behold, he looked up and saw Jesus coming and said, behold, look, here comes the Son of God. And notice he tells us what his job description is. He says he comes to do what? Take away the sins of the world. And Jesus looked at John, and Jesus in his humanity said to John, baptize me. John refused to baptize him, but he said unto me, baptize me that the works of God may be made manifest, may be known, may be worked in the hearts of men. And John took him to the river and baptized him. And when Jesus came out of the river Jordan, the Bible tells us that the whole heavens opened up and there was a voice that gives another authenticity to the power of Jesus Christ and the strength and the might that is in him, in the flesh as well as in the spirit. The heavens opened up and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Heaven gives the testimony. Heaven gives the announcement about who Jesus is. We notice that in the book of Isaiah, I think it is chapter 6 or chapter 9, the question is raised and the answer is given as to who Jesus is. For it says in Isaiah chapter 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, now and forever. When you look at the text, Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And some said, John the Baptist, the baptizer. You may remember that John is in prison, and he sends a word to Jesus by John's disciples saying, art thou the Christ? I'm going through all of this hell. I'm going through all of these difficulties. I'm going through all of the storms, and I'm in jail because a woman danced and because the king had opened his mouth and, not thinking what he's saying, said, whatever you want, just ask me. Men, we got to be careful when we say to folk, whatever you want, just ask for it. He asked not for, she asked not, the mother asked not for great riches. She asked not for fame. She just asked for the head of the prophet who told her and the king that he was living in sin. We got to be careful, preachers, how we proclaim the word of God. When we proclaim it with boldness, when we proclaim it with power, there's somebody out there looking to take our heads off. Oh, y'all missed that. Y'all missed that, but the Bible helps me to understand that even though John was beheaded, Jesus sent his message to him saying, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the poor has the gospel preached unto them. John the Baptist was a good man, a good name for Jesus to be called, but he was not Jesus the Christ. So well, it said you may be Elias. Elijah, one of the prophets. You remember Elijah stood before the king and before that wicked woman Jezebel and told them that because of their sin, because of their disobedience, because of their walk from God, that God will hold up the rain from the earth and that it would not rain for 3 years. But thanks be to God, even though it did not rain, God's people were cared for. You remember what she said? She said, I'll take your head, but I like what the prophet said before, yeah, before you take my head, you will fall from the palace and dogs will eat your flesh. Look at some neighbor and tell your neighbor, be careful how you dig a ditch for somebody because you may fall in it yourself. And so the Bible helps us to understand that Elijah stands before the 450 Baal's prophet, and declare that God is God and above him that there is none other. And declare that God is the creator of all heavens and earth. And declare that God has all power. And declare that God is sacred. And declare that God is holy. And that God moves in a mysterious way. He declared the power, the sovereignty of God. Said, if you don't believe me, let's go out to the mountain. Let's go out to Mount Carmel. Let's see what happens out there. You may remember how he stood before the prophets and Baal and gave them the opportunity to call on their God first. Don't know about you, but I'm willing to test my God. When I stand before the evils of this world, I give them first choice because I know that they cannot do anything, that they serve idols that have hands that cannot touch, that have voice that cannot speak, that have a mouth that cannot, lips cannot move. But I serve a true and living God. I serve a God that there's power in his hands. There's healing power in his hands. There's creative powers in his hand. There's creativeness in his voice. He stepped out on the midst of darkness and said, let there be light. And the Bible said that light came forth. Is there anybody here that's heard the voice of Jesus saying, come unto me? Oh yeah, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I serve a God with hands. I serve a God with a heart of compassion who can take two fish and five loaves of bread and feed 5,000 and have left over 12 baskets left over. What do you have to say about Jesus? So he said, well, maybe he's John the Baptist. Maybe he Elias or Jeremiah. But can I tell you something about Jeremiah? He was a wonderful prophet. God spoke to him while he was in his mother's womb. God said, I knew you. Before you came forth, I knew you. Before your mother birthed you, I knew you. And I ordained you for a ministry of service and a ministry of proclamation and a ministry of prophecy. But I remember things got going hard and bad. And it looked like Jeremiah could not get the attention of the people, and the people had stopped coming to hear him. Jeremiah said, I think I'll quit. I think I'll throw in the towel. I'm not going to rope a dope. I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm going to quit this race. I'm going to quit falling, and I'm going to quit doing what God has told me to do. Sit down for a moment, and then something heated him up. He said, well, I would quit, but I could not quit
because the word of God and the message of God and the power of God and the strength of God is in my bones. It's just like fire shut up in my bones, and I cannot quit. Sometimes I too want to stop, but I learned to read the scripture. The scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Is there anybody here that lost your strength, but you cried out to the master, you cried out to God, and God heard your prayers, and up from the waters lifted you, and now save you are. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thank God that when you think you're at your wit's end and you remember the power of prayer. I like what Mahalia Jackson used to sing. She said, I've learned. I found the way. I've learned to pray. If you just talk with God, God will give you an answer for every situation. He'll give you an answer for your grief. He'll give you an answer for your unemployment. He'll give you an answer for your house. God will and does answer prayer. I got a few things here, just three things to tell you about what people, if you just ask some of the folk that God had worked with through Jesus Christ in the New Testament, if you just ask them, they will tell you that he is a restorer of a lost mind. First of all, he's a restorer of a lost mind. Is there anybody here that almost felt that you lost your mind? You lost your mind because you couldn't work out a situation. You couldn't figure it out, and you were almost at your wit's end. You were like those men in the Bible. You were like those men who were like drunkards at wit's end. They staggered to and forth and was at wit's end because it looked like the storm had rocked them. Have you ever felt like you at your wit's end? That I just can't take no more of this. I can't take any more of this sickness. I can't take any more of the sickness of my child or the sickness of my grandchild. I just can't take any more of my husband's sickness and of my wife's sickness or my child. And then all of a sudden, you're at your wit's end, and the doctors and nurses and technicians are at their wit's end, and somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for the sick person, and all of a sudden the cancer was gone. All of a sudden leukemia, oh yeah, blood had now been transformed. And you now have good blood because somebody prayed. I don't know. It must not be anybody in Second Baptist that where you at your wit's end and God answered your prayer. It ought to be somebody here that's willing to say that I was at my wit's end, didn't know what to do, didn't know where to go, but I turned to the master, I turned to Jesus, and I can tell you, he's a restorer of a lost mind, lost will, lost confidence. He restores it. If you don't believe me, you ask that man among the tombs. Here was a man that was crazy. I know we don't talk about crazy folk, but when I was growing up, we had a saying, you crazy and I'm going to send you to Terrell, Texas or Austin. Y'all missing it. These were the places where crazy folk went, where you sent crazy folk. My mother used to say to me when I come in the house acting like I didn't know who she was, she would say, boy, have you lost your mind? Are you crazy today? Can I help you get your senses back? Oh, y'all missing it, because some of you never had a parent to talk to you like that. But I had a parent that when I was at my wit's end in terms of thinking that I was all of that, a bag of chips, had the trophy and the t-shirt, she would tell me, I'm still your mama. I'm still, no matter what you have got, no matter how you have arrived, I'm still your mama. And if you act crazy in here, I will give you some good sense. Oh, y'all missed it. Y'all didn't see. She'd give me some good sense. If I missed the education, if I missed the test, she put on me the board of education. Y'all don't know what the board of education is. The Board of Education is not 9 or 10 men and women that sit on a board. It was a board. And it could educate. It could bring me back to my senses. The man among the tomb was mentally ill. And I know the Bible doesn't say how he got that way. But the Bible says that Jesus landed on the shores. And when Jesus landed in his space, the demons that was in him cried out, "Thou Son of David." Even the devils know who God is. Even the devils obey his will. And we who sit here say that Christ is our Savior and our Lord. When he asks us to do something, we tell him, "I ain't going to do that." But can I help you here? He'll make you do it. He'll make you do it. I like what David said. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down beside still waters. He leadeth me to green pastures." Is there anybody here that one day you said you were not going to do God's will, and God slapped you down, put you in a position that you cried out like Saul, "My God, my Lord, what will you have me to do? If you raise me up from the sick bed, I will praise you. If you raise my father, my mother up from the sick bed, I will give you the glory." Is there anybody here that's willing to say, "I was down, but I told God, if you lift me up, I'll praise you. Don't care where I am. Don't care what kind of job I have. I'm going to give God some glory." Yeah. This man, the demons, said, "Master, give us somewhere to go." I said to the 8 o'clock service this morning, when the devil leaves you, he's going to somebody. When the devil leaves you, he's going somewhere else. And the Bible said that the demons asked him for permission, and he told them, "You can go to the swine." Went to the swine. Swines went crazy and dived into the river, dived into water, and drowned themselves. People heard that Jesus had worked a miracle in this boy's life. They wanted to put him out of the city. They said, "Get out of here. You got to get." They were more concerned about chitlins and pork chops than they were about a saved soul. Hey, help me somebody here. So the Bible helps me to understand that when Jesus told the demons to come out of him, that when the demons came out of him, the man had lost his mind, but Jesus restored his mind to him. Naked and clothed and a lot of strength to break the chains. But the Bible says that he was at himself. And in his right mind, clothed, and in his right mind, and he comes to Jesus. Jesus is on a ship, and he says to him, "Master, let me follow you." And Jesus said, No. I need you to be a living testimony that I can restore a lost mind. Go home and tell what good things the Lord has done for you." I see in my sanctified imagination, here he got on his best suit, got on his best sandals, and all clothed and in his right mind, and go running through the city telling them, "Come see me. Name Jesus who restored my lost mind. Come see a man that saved me from my sins. Come see a man named Jesus." Is there anybody here that's willing to go knock on some doors or stand on some street corners and tell the world, "I found a blessed Savior, and he's sweet, I know"? Secondly, not only is he a restorer of lost minds, but he's a healer of diseases, no matter how long you've had them. No matter how long you had them. As a young boy, I had asthma. My asthma was so bad, I had to smoke asthmatic cigarettes. Oh, y'all don't remember that. You got to be old to remember that. I'm walking around at 6 and 7 years old with a cigarette in my mouth. Little kids love, other folk look at me and say, "Boy, you smoke?" Yeah, man. "Hey, let me have a draw." "No, you can't have none of this. This too good, boy. You can't have none of my cigarette." Had asthma so bad. Every time my mother attempted to whoop me, I went into an asthma attack. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Every time I got in trouble with my mother, my grandmother, I got sick. They never did catch on. Till I decided I'm old enough now to play sports. All of a sudden, my asthma was gone. I'm out there with a football, a basketball. I'm out there running track, out there boxing. Mother said to me, "When did your asthma leave?" I'm now 14 years old, but I smoked those cigarettes from the age of 7 to about 10. And then they found something else that I had to take. But thanks be to God that the God that I serve has a way of taking all of your diseases away. It ought to be somebody here that had cancer and the doctors performed the miracle and surgery and you no longer have the cancer. Ought to be somebody here that God has operated on your cancerous heart. Your heart was eating away because somebody mistreated you. And you're walking around with hatred and envy. And God one day laid you on the operating table called grace and operating table called mercy and took the knife of forgiveness and cut your sin out. And now you can lift your hands and worship and say, "I don't hate her anymore. I don't hate him anymore because of the love of God that came into my life. He healed me of my disease." You remember the man that was by the pool for 38 years? 38 years he suffered with a malady. And the Bible said they brought him to the pool daily. He didn't stay there all night. He had some family members or friends who brought him and left him. The key word here is that they left him. And there was a season when the angels came down to trouble the waters. And when they came down to trouble the waters, there was nobody there to help him get in, to push him in, to put him in. They brought him and they left him. I wish you'd catch that. We got folk who drop folk off at church and leave them. And they have to wait around another hour for them to show up. But can I tell you something? When they drop you off in a good place. They drop you off in the fellowship, the koinonia of God, the fellowship. They drop you off in the ecclesia, the called out ones of God. They drop you off in the didache, the teaching of the power of God. They drop you off in a good place. And then the Holy Spirit comes and enables you to get in. But Jesus said, "Do you want to be made whole?" "Yes, but they don't push me in." And somebody that's in better shape get in the water and they get healed before I do. Can I tell you one thing, Second Baptist? No matter what you're going through, no matter what pool you're sitting beside, no matter how long your disease is, God has a blessing with your name on it. God has a blessing with your name on it. God has a blessing with your name on it. Just hang on in there. Just stay by the pool. The Bible said, Jesus said to him that the healing is not in the water. The healing is in the word of God. Is there anybody here? You come for one thing and God gives you another. You have a servant-dick relationship. You have a certain thing that happens that you thought wasn't going to happen. God moves in a mysterious way. And the Bible said to him, if you want to be made whole, you got to help your own self. Take up your bed and walk. The Bible said he took up his bed and he started walking. If you ask him, he will tell you that he is a man that heals no matter how long you had the disease. I see him in my sanctified imagination walking through the streets. Got a little holy dance going on because he'd never been able to walk in 38 years. But now he has strength in his limbs and he's walking. Got his bed under his arms. He didn't leave what he laid on. He had something else to depend on, but he took that with him. And the Bible says he's on his way to church, and the church folk, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the Adjacees, they said to him, "What you doing with your bed? What happened to you?" He said, "A man named Jesus." Yes. A man named Jesus stopped by, told me to take up my bed and walk, and now I'm on my way to church. If the Lord has done something for you, you ought to make your way to church. Don't let nobody stop you from your praise. Don't let anybody stop you from giving God the glory. Don't let anybody. The Bible said, he said, a man named Jesus goes in church, and my sanctified imagination, I see him clapping his hands and shouting hallelujah. I see him praising God. I see him running around the church saying, God is a good God. Yes, he is. God is a wonderful God. Yes, he is. God is a way maker. Yes, he is. God is powerful. Yes, he is. God is my God. Yes, he is. I tell you, praise him. Well, I've talked enough. I've given you enough. But I need to tell you another thing. Quickly. Somebody asks you what God has done for you. Somebody say, what do you have to say about Jesus? You tell them he is a restorer of a lost mind. Tell them he's a healer of 38 years of disease, of a diseased body. But also tell them he's a giver of the keys to heaven and earth. In Matthew chapter 16, he said, who do men say that I am? And Peter stepped up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I like what God said to him. You don't have those kinds of cognitive skills. You don't have that kind of knowledge. You don't have that kind of understanding. For flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Thou art Peter. Thou art Johnson, thou art Smith, thou art Thurston, thou art Washington, thou art Evans, thou art Jemison, thou art Jackson, thou art Ennis, thou art Samuel Mathis, thou art Johnson, and I give unto you. Just because I said that thou art the Christ, just because I acted like I know who he is, he gives unto me the power and authority to loose and to bound. Said, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That whatsoever you loose, whatever you bind in heaven, shall be bound on earth. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So I say to Second Baptist today, there are some things we need to bind. We need to bind envy. We need to bind complaining. We need to lock it up so that heaven won't have to smell the scent of our dissension. And the Bible says, I give unto you the keys, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. That's why old folks knew what to say. The Lord Jesus is on the main line. Call him up. Tell him just what you want. Sister Crum, if your body needs healing, call him up. Tell him just what you want. Oh, yeah. Sister Bean, if your soul needs saving, call him up. Tell him just what you want. And guess what? He doesn't have a party line. Yeah, you don't get nobody else on the line when you're talking to Jesus. And guess what? He used to have one of those phones, black phones, that used to sit in his office. And he answered when you call. But guess what? He's now got a cell phone. Wherever he goes, he takes that phone with him. And guess what? When you call, though he's already answering somebody else's prayer, he doesn't put you on wait. He punches you right in. And if you're not careful, the other person will hear your conversation with the Lord. But I don't care. If I'm going through a storm, I talk to him about the storm. I don't care. He knows I'm going through the storm. I have a key. I can call him anytime, anywhere. He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's omnipresent. He's present everywhere at the same time. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And thanks be to God, he has given me the power to lock it up. or to unlock it. Touch your neighbor and tell you, I'm glad I know Jesus. I'm glad I know him as a healer. I'm glad I know him as a restorer. And I'm glad that I got keys to the heaven and earth. Guess what, Second Baptist? You want to fill these pews? All you got to do is be prayerful and talk to Jesus. He'll send you the crowd. He may not send folk you want to see. They may not smell like us. They may not look like us. They may not talk with us. But guess what? God so loved the world that he gave his life that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life everlasting. He died out on Calvary, not just for the rich folk, not just for the wealthy folk, but he died for the poor folk, for the homeless. He died for everybody. Thank God he died for you and for me. And I don't know about you. I don't mind telling the world, I've come from a long ways. He brought me from a long ways. I don't believe he's brought me this far to leave me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad to speak on his behalf. But I'm glad that I know him. Not as mother and grandfather knew him, but I know him for myself. I know him for myself. I know what he's done for me, what he's done for my family. I know what he will do if I just asked him. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Come on, deacons, there may be someone in here today that got a message about Christ that's willing to tell the world, I serve a risen Savior. And he's in the world today. Church is standing, choir singing. We invite you to come. The door to my Father's house is standing open. He's worthy of all of our praise. The main. Come on, come on. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up. What you want.
Oh, if you want your body healed, tell him what you want.
Come on.
If you want your body healed,
tell him what you want.
Oh, if you want your body healed, tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. Well, if you want your soul saved,
tell him what you want.
If you want your soul saved,
tell him what you want.
If you want your soul saved, tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want.
Our sister has come for prayer, and she tells me that she wants to be rebaptized. And so now, call your name out, and we'll pray for you. And Sandra Wyndham, thank you for your faith. God is a restorer of a lost mind. He's a healer, no matter how long you've been sick. And he'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for Sister Wyndham who has come. We pray for your healing in her life. Thank you, our God, that she has faith, that she has the will. We pray that you touch her in a very special way. Bless us now as we depart from this place. We pray that you would come and go with us. And so now we pray, Lord, bless us. Lord, keep us. Lord, make your faces shine upon us. Lord, be gracious unto us and lift your countenance upon us. Wherever we may go, we may know that if we lose it, God can restore it. And we may know that if we fall into sickness, God can heal. And that every believer has a key to the kingdom of heaven and to the earth. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said amen.
Amen.
And they went their way rejoicing. Jesus is on the mainland.